Hi, my name is Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, director of 28 Weeks Later. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and I hope that you enjoy my movie.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yes, and as you heard, Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, the director of 28 Weeks Later, is on the show later.
Later.
But we'll deal with that later. You heard him earlier. You'll hear more of him.
He's on 28 Minutes Later.
28? Uh-huh. Ooh, actually, you know, that's pretty doggone close.
Yeah.
Very close.
Yeah.
So, you know, we amuse ourselves. Little bit of housekeeping. Let everybody know who we are, where we are, how
Absolutely.
To get in touch with us.
Let's clean it up a little bit. You can reach us, Fat Guys at the Movies. Of course, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And you can also get us on dig.com, D-I-G-G.com, and podcastalley.com. And of course, as always, we have our own hotline, which... we're still yet to receive any decent calls. I'm still waiting for Don Imus to call or something like
Don
that.
Don Imus to call and call us a nappy-headed hose or something like that.
Yeah, he calls the guys at Veercast all the time. We got to get Don Imus to call us.
Yeah, because nothing says ratings and numbers like Don Imus.
Yes, exactly. But the phone number, if you want to give us a call, is area code 614-388-8735. That's where you can reach us.
Give us a call. So. Tell us what you think. Now, one thing I wanted to let people know, I was watching CNN the other day, and they were having a teaser for a Larry King show, and it said, and it actually said this in the teaser, Larry King has been called the most, whatever, the most brilliant
most
interviewer.
Influential voice in radio.
Yeah, or something like that. And I said, well, anybody could. Maybe it was by Larry King's mother who said that. So here I'm gonna use that for ourselves. I am going to call Fat Guys at the Movies the most influential cinema reporters on the internet.
Yes, the most influential voices in film.
The most influential voices in film, and now we can say. Fat Guys at the Movies
has been called
the most influential voices.
Have a little bit of that this week.
Yeah, I had that once. I got pneumonia last year, but that's another story. Neil, what are we talking about today?
Well, coming up on the show today, we've got all kinds of good stuff. Kevin and I are going to contract the rage virus.
Yes.
And as promised last week, we were going to try and eat someone. We extended the invitation to Lindsay Lohan to coincide with the release of Georgia Rule, but unfortunately, we were turned down. She decided to do coke instead.
Yeah, it was one of those things. She decided to contract something else.
Yes.
But, you know, when you look at her, you know, she could feed two people for a week.
Yeah.
At least from what, you know... You yep. normally feed from.
To save the women and children, I'm going to refrain from the really, really inappropriate comment that was going through my mind right there.
There you go. The good old Lindsay Lohan, because they've got movies opening this week. We got the Rage Virus opening. We got Lindsay Lohan opening her nose and sucking down some coke. Allegedly.
Yes.
Allegedly.
We've also got some other fun ones to talk about. We've got Delta Farce, which your favorite leading man.
Yes.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Wait a minute. No,
actor of
my
the year last
man.
Year.
Well, no. I voted for him for body of work.
Yes. He's got quite a body of work. And we've also got...
to quote him, what in the Siegfried and Roy are you talking about?
Exactly. The X with Zach Braff, one of my favorite actors.
The one that you are nibbling for.
Yes, and then a movie that we may have a little bit of a smackdown about, which is into my top five of the year, Waitress, with
you know,
Kerry Russell.
If I would have seen it in the first week of the year, it would have been in my top five. So let's we'll save that for later. Right now, we're going to talk about 28 Weeks Later. Let's hear a clip.
Welcome to London.
There are a large number of bodies still left to be cleared from the original outbreak of infection.
You're nearly home.
How old are you, Andy?
12.
I think that makes you the youngest person in the entire country.
The last infected human died 6 months ago.
We weren't here 6 months ago.
Have you come into direct contact with the infected?
So So there we go, 28 weeks later. That is the big movie opening this weekend. Probably not going to make a dent into Spider-Man, but hopefully some horror fans will jump at the chance to see it.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of chomping at the bit after, you know, Grindhouse didn't do so well and it kind of faded away. We're really waiting for that movie where people die.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the apocalyptic horror movie. like you said, they've been... 2005 had so many horror movies coming out, partly because of 28 Days Later, which helped really redefine the horror genre in this decade. I don't know what you call it, the 2000s?
The O's?
The aughts, whatever. You can't say 90s or whatever.
Right.
But, and now we're seeing some more horror movies, not as many doing as well as they did. But I'll tell you, I really enjoyed 28 Weeks Later. I thought it was an incredibly... well-done extension of the first film.
I'll agree with you on that one in the sense that I like the first film, but it wasn't as intensely scary. And as our listeners know and as you know, I'm a huge pansy when it comes to scary movies.
You are.
And watching
I've seen you wet your pants.
When I went to see the first one, it was like, oh, this is going to be bad. And then it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. The second one, significantly more intense.
Yes, very, very intense, very, very powerful, and it's very uncomfortable to watch in parts. Which I thought, but see, I liked that. I mean, because we're here watching stuff like Hostel and Saw. You get the rape, murder, and torture, and all that kind of stuff, and that to me is just so crass. But this was, you know, and we'll get to this later with our interview with Juan Carlos. He really focused on realism in this movie and the reality of something and a real apocalyptic view of the future. And I thought he did a fabulous job. Because it was uncomfortable to watch, I think means that it achieved what it was going for.
Well, I agree that he achieved with what he was going for, but there were a few things that I didn't like. And one of the things he focused upon in the movie is it's got a very morose tone to it.
It's grim from frame one.
It's really one of those movies where the first one you got a little bit of hope, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but during the whole movie, there's just certain points in the movie where you're like, oh my god, this is kind of depressing. But wow, that's an interesting way to kill someone.
It's one of those movies where you're like, thank God for the Atlantic Ocean, because maybe that would save North America.
Yeah, you know? Seriously. Seriously.
But I have to say it rocked. It's going up there as one of my favorites of the year.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it kind of rocks because, you know, I felt like they were stretching a little bit to get plot out of this one as opposed to the last one, which just was such an innovative way to tell a horror story. But I enjoyed it. Ultimately, it was fulfilling. Okay. So I'm going to kind of rock it.
Speaking of fulfilling, we'll talk about Lindsay Lohan now with her new movie, Georgia Rules. Here's a clip.
Where is my granddaughter?
She bolted from the car.
How's she going to find me?
Go!
She's only been here once in her life.
She's easy to find.
Hello?
Just listen for a scream.
Hey, whoa. You don't look evil.
Makeup helps. We eat at 6.
Georgia rule.
Wash your dishes.
Georgia rule.
I got your job.
One more rule. You live here, you work.
No wonder Mom hates you.
You didn't get a whole lot from the clip, actually, because it's kind of a hard movie to explain. And it's look, you know what? If you like this kind of movie, sort of this terms of endearment kind of angst in the family, dysfunctional idiots running around, you'll probably like Georgia Rule. I personally wasn't a huge fan of it. I thought it was well done, but I'll tell you, it's not Princess Diary. So if you've got a little girl at home who's saying, Daddy, Daddy, let me see the movie that's Princess Diary. No. Do not take her to see Georgia Rules because it deals with some very adult situations. And you get to see Lindsay Lohan's boobs bounce around through the movie.
Yeah, if you have a teenager who has a sick mind like I do, take them to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'll catch it on DVD.
There's no nudity.
Just for that.
Doggone it. But, you know.
Well, that's why it's appropriate for the teenagers.
Okay.
Because there's no nudity.
So you say.
Okay. Yes.
But that was a quick review because Neil didn't see it.
I didn't see it. I wanted to. Trust me, I really did.
He went snorting coke with Lindsay Lohan later. But we're gonna take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to hit three other movies: Delta Farce, The X, and The Waitress Smackdown.
And we're back, and we're going to continue.
That was my rage. I was infected with a
little bit of
the
rage virus there.
I'm letting me go snack on some Lindsay Lohan in the back. We got her in the cage.
Nice.
But we ripped out her tongue.
Nice. So let's.
I'm keeping it. I'm going to use it for other things later tonight.
That's disgusting. I don't know if I can be here for this anymore. Okay, can we talk about movies now?
did I completely throw you off your game?
That's almost as bad as the we're doing this naked thing, or doing this in my underwear.
That
thing.
Bothered you, man.
I was like, wait a second.
I wasn't really in my underwear. It's the magic of radio, people.
I know, I'm here. but let's talk about some more movies. We're going to start with what has to be the most asinine film to come out so far this year.
I thought you wanted to talk about Waitress later.
Oh, that's just low. You know I'm talking about Larry the Cable Guy.
I know, but so. I love Larry the Cable Guy. He is a funny, funny man. You have to admit, he's a funny, funny man.
He's got a real weird charm to him, I guess. I was a big fan of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, too, but I'm on the Ron White side of things, like the guy standing there just getting trashed, making fun of his wife.
Sure.
Larry the Cable Guy to me is just
Ron White got laid in Columbus.
That was one of his big stories. Yes. Was the divorce story with the lady in Columbus. Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with Larry the Cable Guy in Delta Farce.
Right, but another one of his co-stars from Blue Collar Comedy Tour, Bill Engvall, is in the movie.
Yes.
So, it looks okay if you're really in. You know, if you went to see The Condemned and you like The Condemned, to go see this one,
That's what happened. You and I, we saw The Condemned, we sat together, you hated The Condemned, and I thought it was a well-done film. But they showed the trailer of Delta Farce before it.
And everybody was like, woo!
You know, and if you like The Condemned, if you're in that audience of sort of like that blue collar, you know, hell yeah, sort of
group. If you're a redneck, you can say
okay, redneck. If you're a redneck, you are going to love Delta, even though we didn't see it.
Yeah.
They did not screen this one.
We know you're going to like it.
Yeah, because, for right now, let's just listen to a clip real quick.
I'm often asked, what makes a hero? Courage, selflessness, sacrifice.
Somebody say hero?
If there was ever a worse excuse for a soldier, I'd like to meet him.
Well, hey there, Sarge.
This is it, Iraq.
Oh, damn!
We're in Iraq! What in the name of Siegfried and Roy are you fellas doing?
Don't ask. Don't tell.
You're not in Iraq, Gringo.
Oh, my God.
All right. Now, this one, they did not screen for critics. And if you could tell from the clip, I'm not surprised because I can't imagine a universe where this would get good reviews.
Right. I
mean, it could be the funniest movie ever made.
Yeah.
But it's not going to get good reviews because it's Larry the Cable Guy. It's DJ Qualls. They're invading Mexico because they think it's Iraq. And there you go.
Yeah, it's right up there with Codename the Cleaner.
Oh, no. Don't even. No.
It's Codename the Cleaner for rednecks.
No, it's not. Yes, it has some quality. I mean, Cedric the Entertainer. And then, you know.
Yeah.
No, there was so much wrong with Codename
the
Cleaner.
Just admit it, I win.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to check it out this weekend.
Yeah, we'll have a review up on Film School Rejects very soon.
Well, now you're making me have to do it.
Yes, we're going to make Kevin write it. We're going to whip him. It's going to be great.
Okay, speaking of being whipped, we're going to deal with the next movie with Zach Braff's The X. Here is a clip.
At Sunburst, the yes ball gets thrown around the office.
Go long! Come on, buddy. You got to jump for those.
I haven't been able to, Tom, since I was 5.
This is the guy you're going to be working with.
He's the man.
What's this chip guy like?
We were in cheerleading together.
Let me tell you what you are. L-O-S-E-R.
I think he might have a dark side.
Somebody's eating chips yogurt.
Is this your yogurt?
Huh?
That's for stealing my yogurt, dude.
And as you hear from this, the general plot is Zach Braff's married to Amanda Peet. They've just had a kid. Zach Braff gets a job from her father in an advertising firm, and he has to deal with her ex-boyfriend, who is played by Jason Bateman, in a wheelchair, and he's like the perfect guy and has a huge, what do they call
talent.
It? Talent. Yeah, what do they call it in Young Frankenstein's? Schwanstucker or something like that?
I have no idea.
Classic. Yeah, that was before your time. We've established the fact that you weren't even a gleam in your mother's eye or daddy's a little squirt back then.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't see this one, did you?
No, but I really wanted to. I like Zach Braff, and Jason Bateman is so funny.
Jason Bateman's great. He steals the show in this movie. He really does. And you know, I haven't... We've had a discussion off the air on this. Zach Braff's last two films, The Last Kiss and Garden State, I did not like either of them.
I liked both of them.
Well, see, that's because you're an idiot. But the reason...
Lame.
Part of the thing is... See, my problem with Garden State was... I used to do independent film, and Garden State read and played like every other independent film script, every other independent film I've seen that's been done on digital video. Some whiny little butt goes home and has to deal with like his friends and his, and it's just, I've seen it done so many times, and the only reason it ever got actually made was because it had Zach Braff in it, and he was going to do it. So I mean, I've seen it so many times before.
Right, Garden State's to me, I guess it just hit home because maybe I'm in that age group. Yeah, and when I saw it at the time, I just moved out, and anyways, but here's the thing about the X that kind of worries me, even though I haven't seen it, is Zach Braff. I'm getting a little tired of the same character over and over.
Oh, it's JD again. Yeah,
I loved him in Garden State. I liked it in The Last Kiss. This one, blah! I'm waiting for, it's kind of like Will Ferrell, I'm waiting for it to wear off.
Well, you know what, this is the thing, he's sort of like, if you want to put him on the level of like Julia Roberts, he does that character, JD, from Scrubs.
Better than anybody.
Very well.
Absolutely.
And if we ever see him do something different, it's probably going to suck, but he does those roles very, very well, I don't like him in the serious parts, which is probably why I didn't like Garden State and Last Kiss, because it was basically his JD character without the humor, which made him kind of irritating and annoying. But with this movie, The X, he's funny. He's very funny. Jason Bateman steals the show. Definitely check it out. It's a good movie.
All right.
I would go as far as say it rocks.
Nice. Nice. Can you play me a clip from Waitress? Because yes. I really want one.
Here we go.
So, what seems to be the problem?
I seem to be pregnant.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, but I'm not so happy about it like everybody else might be. I'm having the baby, and that's that.
Un-congratulations.
Un-thank you.
I'm sorry, that wasn't a very long clip. It was just a little snippet.
Good enough, though.
Leaves you to know she's a waitress, and she's pregnant, and she doesn't want to be.
Exactly. And I'm going to start in on this one because
I really liked it.
And I'll let you tear it apart. Do whatever you need to do with this, but I thought this was probably one of the most intelligent and heartwarming comedies easily of this year, if not last couple of years.
Oh my God, it was better than like Little Miss Sunshine?
Not better than Little Miss Sunshine, but it's right there. It was that same experience that I had when I saw Little Miss Sunshine. I was like, wow, this was really different and really smart. And I think it's about this woman who she's married to this huge D-bag, played by Jeremy Sisto. It's probably just a fantastic role by Jeremy Sisto. And she gets pregnant. She makes these great pies. It's kind of this weird little fairy tale type of thing. And I just giggled like a little girl.
And she has an affair with her doctor and all that good stuff. You know,
it's all the normal stuff.
I want to go to this town that she's in more than I want to get a job at Seattle Grace Hospital from Grey's Anatomy. Because everybody's getting laid in that town. Not with their own spouse, but everyone's having sex with everybody else. Here's my thing, and this is, I'm going to step in a huge bear trap. This is my Don Imus territory right now. My biggest beef with Waitress was, this is going to sound really politically incorrect, but I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for people, whether it's a woman in a bad marriage or a guy with a bad girlfriend. I don't care who you are, what sex or anything. When you're in a bad situation, leave. This is not the 1850s. You women can have property and everything. And she's like socked away like $2,000. And she's like, well, I'm just going to try and get some more so I can leave. And I was like, leave. If he's that bad, leave. But the problem is I've known women that have been in bad abusive relationships and I've known them to leave. And what are they? They go right into another abusive relationship. It's this terrible cycle. People don't change. And I just was so irritated with her character. And her husband was so bad. I mean, he was like...
Oh, yeah. He was probably one of the worst husbands ever.
It was like being married to Darth Vader. I mean, what are you going to do? And I'm like, And then they excuse the fact. They're like, oh, well, how could she be in such a bad relationship? She makes a comment like, oh, he changed after we got married. I'm like, no, he didn't. He was the same. It's just when he's driving a motorcycle and wearing a jacket and cutting school and, you know, causing fights in the playground, it was cool in high school, but he's an ass when he gets older. And that's just... Right. I don't know. That's just... I think
there's plenty to love about this movie. And they're doing a cool promotion on Mother's Day. The 2 o'clock screenings on Mother's Day. This is a great movie to take mom to see. Because,
I wouldn't say that, but yes.
My mom would love this movie. Because I liked it. I don't know. Anyways, we got to go to a break, don't we?
Yes, I think we do. Right. We've ruined enough for us. We'll come back with box office predictions.
What? Before we go, I'm saying that Waitress rocked.
Raitress kind of sucked. It didn't totally suck, but it kind of sucked.
Okay. Good. Flowers lonely, burn out slowly like a
cigarette. But you kiss me. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we're going to go out of here really quick with box office predictions. I'm going to predict that Spider-Man 3 wins again the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to say Spider-Man 3 wins, but I'm going to say 20 Weeks Later is going to get a lot closer to 10 million than Disturbia did last week.
28 Weeks Later is going to do well, but you know, as much as I hate to say it, I think Georgia Rules, it's going to be a little bit of a boxing match between the two of them, because I think both have totally different demographics, and they both have a tendency to
right, and neither one of the demographics necessarily cuts into Spider-Man.
No.
You know.
So. But it's a possibility that they might bump out Disturbia, but you know, they may not. Disturbia has been having some legs on
it. It's a decent movie, and you know, yeah.
So that's it. We're going to take off. We got a short segment here. We're going to head on now and to the bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk to you later when we do DVDs, entertainment news, and an interview with Juan Carlos Fresnadillo.
And we're back, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're halfway through, halfway home.
That's right. We are full of the rage virus, and we're ready to take it out on DVDs next.
Yeah, let's talk about some DVDs. I will go first this week.
Let you go first. That's how cool I am.
I need to throw something out there first. This pick, this is another terrible week.
Okay, wait. Wait a minute. Is this you trying to tempering the fact that you picked Dreamgirls last week and I called you gay? I said you were gayer than Justin Suarez from Ugly Betty.
This one is almost as bad. I'm going to admit that ahead of time. Okay. But this one is, I'm picking Catch and Release this week for two reasons. One, there's nothing else out. And I know what you're going to pick, and it's not even close.
Catch and Release was ass.
Catch and Release was not the greatest movie, but
it was worse than Codename the Cleaner.
Not even close.
Oh, way worse.
I know someone who is really into the culture of Boulder, Colorado, and the hippie culture there, and you know, people that shop at like Whole Foods, like myself. Really love
people have
the
really
way,
really good bowel movements.
Yes, really love the way that the movie captured the culture of Boulder, Colorado, which was very cool in the movie.
If only they captured a plot.
If only there was a little bit of plot there. This had all the makings to be a good movie, and you know, Kevin Smith's in it. So
Kevin Smith. Oh my God, Kevin Smith! There is not a bigger whore in Hollywood than Kevin Smith in this movie.
But I mean, God love it. That's great.
I think he's he's so bad, and it was him saying, you know what? I think I put on a little bit of weight. Can we have every single fat joke imaginable about me? If there's not a fat joke running through somebody's mouth while I'm on screen, I'm not satisfied. That was what I think Kevin Smith was saying on this movie.
I can relate to that, though. Yes, but I would do that.
Well, no, but I mean, it was just so much. It's so typical Kevin Smith. I'm going to cobble the people who are going to criticize me off, you know, before they even say, you know, before I get the reviews coming out for the dozen or so people that saw the movie that say, well, Kevin Smith's got a huge ass in this movie. Kevin Smith's going to walk on the screen and go, hey, critics, you're Joel Siegel. I got a huge ass. You make a snappy little comeback for that?
Yeah.
I hated this
And
movie.
Wait till you see what we did with the donkey in this one.
That's right. You know, if you like Celestial Seasonings, maybe you're going to like Catch and Release. But see, this one, what's funny is this is the weekend for the chick flicks. I thought you would have really gone for this because you chose Great Dreamgirl last week. But, you know, you have Catch and Release, you have Because I Said So, which is even worse than Catch and Release. It was just such a, you know, eye-socket, bulging, bad movie. But then you had Music and Lyrics, which I thought was a really fun, charming, hilarious movie, which at the beginning of the year, I like romantic comedies, and I was terrified that I wasn't. I'm like, oh my God, am I turning into one of those stuffy critics who doesn't like romantic comedies? And then I saw Music and Lyrics, and I said, no, this was a cute little movie.
Well, it had Drew Barrymore in it. She's all right.
There are no boobs, but they did have that hot, that sort of like Britney Spears type character who was running around in her little booty shorts. That was nice.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But there's another chick flick. The Painted Veil came out on DVD.
The Painted Veil and
Naomi Watts and Ed Norton.
Yeah, and Fur, what is it, that imaginary story?
Yeah,
I mean,
geez.
It was like, I mean, it is.
Well, it's Mother's Day is coming up too.
Oh, maybe that's so what it is. And you know what else came out? Speaking of chick flick, Dirty Dancing. Special edition came out this week. Yeah. And what's funny is they actually re-released it in theaters for like 2 days.
Right.
This past week. last week, but they couldn't. It was just a really poorly timed because they were like, why even bother putting it in during Spider-Man's
run? Right. Nobody's gonna go see it anyways.
Yeah, I mean you're gonna. I mean, more people would have gone seen Lucky You than would go see Spider-Man.
Right, which is
not
even
Spider-Man,
more depressing.
No, more than Dirty Dancing. Totally misspoke on that because Lucky You did not make $152 million.
Yes,
it made 2.7.
2.7, big week. So
other good ones. Well, the other good one is Big Special Edition.
Huge fan of that movie.
Added like 20 new minutes to the movie. Runs a little long with the new cut, but
I love it, man.
Interesting if you're a big fan.
Yeah, I'm big Tom Hanks with that's the one where he plays the piano with his, you know.
He and Robert Loggia dance around doing
Heart
and
Soul. That's one of the best scenes of my early childhood.
Absolutely. Penny Marshall's one of her really good movies before she started making films
I totally missed that one.
Renaissance Man and and what was the other one? The Preacher's Wife.
Yeah. Well, I liked Renaissance Man. The Preacher's Wife was terrible. But
I have to admit, I haven't seen either of them, but they look like terrible.
Anyways, we've got a couple topics to talk about. Are we done with DVDs?
We're done with DVDs. There's really not a whole lot to talk about on DVDs.
Cool. So we've got some news to talk about. First thing I want to talk about is this Variety article from...
That Rag.
What's his name? Peter...
Peter...
Bart?
Bart? Bart? Something like that?
Yeah, Peter Bart. The editor of Variety wrote an article... basically talking about how, you know, online film critics and bloggers and people that are only online, you and I, kind of only online.
We're the only ones online.
Yes. About how they're being treated differently and about how we don't have to be accurate. That's what he's saying. We could just put something up.
He just went out and trashed.
Trashed the online community, which is absolutely terrible. I don't want to defend the guy at all because this was just...
Well, I mean, to a little defense, the internet is not known as the most accurate place for information.
But then again, neither is CBS.
Variety and CBS. I mean, if you know where to look, you go to the right site, you're going to get stuff that's relatively, you're going to get bad pictures of the Joker claiming that it's really what Heath Ledger looks like.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
No, that was.
Oh, no, it was.
But, and certain people do propagate those stories, but... Really, the online community—it's the immediacy. And what's the subscribership of Variety? 36,000 or something like that.
Something like that. It's very small.
Readership 36,000.
Oddly enough, our good friend Peter over at slashfilm.com put a little graph on his site from the Alexa rankings. Which, if you're familiar with, if you're downloading our show, you're online, so you probably are familiar. Alexa shows your traffic ranking, and it's kind of interesting how a small site like Slash Film, which is, you know, right in the same boat as Film School Rejects, just leapfrogs over Variety.com. You can tell that these print magazines, newspapers, even mainstream news, your ABCs and your Fox, they are paying attention because they are very worried because people can get their information right now on the internet. And that you can't get that from a newspaper. You can't get that from a magazine.
The bottom line is Peter Fart doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's mad and he's upset. And you're seeing what happens with journalism when it comes to film, entertainment news and that sort of thing. You're seeing what happened to the national news television stuff several years ago. It used to be ABC, CBS, NBC had a lock. And, you had the McNeil Era Report, but who listened to that? Mm-hmm. You know, you had, like, professors in colleges listening to that. But the mainstream people listened to those three networks. And then you had cable news, you had CNN blow up after the first Gulf War, you had Fox News blow up when we invaded Iraq the second time. You have the online community, you've got radio, you've got, you know, websites and blogs, and it's rendered national news, NBC, ABC, CBS, completely obsolete. You got Katie Couric crashing and burning, nobody cares. And it's an immediacy thing, and the online sometimes does it better. And this is the wave of the future. So, you know, take that, Peter Fart. Because we have such maturity here on the internet.
Yes, because the internet, we bring the fun, what can I say?
That's right.
But anyways, since we have another minute, I want to talk about something else. The way that the studios are interacting is a little bit different as well. Kind of a knee-jerk reaction this week, our friends over at IESB.net got shut down by the lawyers at Paramount Pictures for posting on-set photos from Iron Man.
Like, no one would have been talking about Iron Man at this time if they hadn't done it.
Right. I don't understand, A, the photos weren't illegal. It was taken by some guy standing in a parking lot with a really good camera. And the second thing is, yeah, we wouldn't be paying attention to something like Iron Man now because no one, you know, they're not talking about this in Variety magazine.
Iron Man is like on the level of Daredevil in terms of understanding and anticipation for comic book fans.
Right, and
it's not Superman or Batman.
But it's already building buzz. So something like this, that is just bad publicity. The internet community is not going to stand for this. Yeah. So, you know, I think over the next couple of years, you're going to see the mindset of Hollywood, the mindset of mainstream media change a little bit and say, hey, wait a second. These online guys know what they're doing.
That's
right. Not all of them are a bunch of, you know, kids in their basement.
Yes. So. Although, I wish I still was, because I hate paying rent.
Exactly.
What other news do we got before we wrap up here?
The only other thing I've got this week is that Paris Hilton's going to jail.
Paris Hilton's going to jail. She's going to be somebody's biatch.
Yes. There's just every story is Paris Hilton
going to
jail.
And we're going to get the Paris Hilton cell block video. We're gonna get
the shower scene. That's what we want.
Yes,
bring that on. Yes. Do that.
Come on, Paris. Don't let us down. There's also George Lucas trashed Spider-Man.
George 3. Lucas said that Spider-Man 3 was a silly movie.
The auteur of the renownedly critically acclaimed Phantom Menace.
Yeah, this came from Fox News, and they talked about not only did they talk about Spider-Man being silly, but they also talked about Indiana Jones 4 and the fact that Sean Connery has not yet signed on, but his character is in the script, and then they talked about making some made-for-TV Star Wars movies. They've been talking
about that for a while.
But they're going to make two more live action, and then they're making the series, the Clone Wars series is going to be animated. So lots of cool stuff coming from George Lucas, and the fact that he bashed on Spider-Man, that just makes me feel so much better about
it. Come on, Georgie. Yeah, like Willow and Howard the Duck were any good. Okay, we're going to move on, and when we come back, interview with Juan Carlos Fresnadillo.
Alright, and we're back, and earlier this week, Kevin got a chance to talk to Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, the director of 28 Weeks Later, a film we talked about a little bit earlier. So, Kevin, I'm going to let you just kind of take it away on this one.
Yeah, I had a chance to speak with Juan Carlos, a great guy, very interesting, and if you haven't seen his original, or his first film, Intacto, it's available, I believe, through Lionsgate. And it's on DVD. You can get it. It's in Spanish because he is Spanish. Mm-hmm. But it's a pretty decent movie. It's what's I thought was interesting about it is it's not what you didn't look at this and see. It wasn't like Hostel. It wasn't like Danny Boyle went and found Eli Roth to do the next movie. He went and he found somebody who did a thriller, but it wasn't necessarily this crazy, you know, over the top horror movie.
Right.
Gotcha. So let's hear what we had to say. I've heard Danny Boyle say that 28 Days Later was not a zombie movie. Do you think that 28 Weeks Later is a zombie movie?
I think it's something different because, you know, zombie means a kind of fantasy. And on the other hand, zombie is related with death and infection and the disease of the movie is showing up. I think it's related with life more than death. And on the other hand, the symptoms of the disease, you know, this kind of anger and rage that the people they are took over by this, and then they act in this kind of crazy way. I think it's a human feeling, but a human feeling would means that, you know, they are alive. They are so real. That's why I think this movie is talking more. More about life, you know, more than death.
Now, were you handpicked for Danny Boyle for this job?
Yes, Danny was the man who was looking for me 2 years and a half ago. He loved Intacto, my first feature movie, and I accepted the project because, you know, it was very important to me to make my own movie, my personal point of view about this, and it was so helpful to hear from Danny. About okay, forget it. For the first movie, try to make your own movie, and we are so happy if you do that.
What did you think of the first film, and how did you make this different?
When I watched the first one, I was completely surprised and amazed because, you know, the work that Danny made it is such a real thing and such a powerful image, you know, about about that amazing scenario, which is the emptiness of London. My contribution, and my point of view in this one is to introduce the concept of a family in the story, and how this family in trouble, they are going to suffer. You know, the journey that the movie is running, and in that context, the virus, the infection, takes advantage of this weak family, and the infection is coming back. So, in that sense, I think to me, sometimes the darkness and the evil, you know, it's something that it takes advantage of your weakness.
What did you do to make 28 Weeks Later different from the standard American horror film?
When I thought about this genre movie, I think my position always was to create, to make something real, you know, and if you do that and you follow your gut feeling, I think at the end of the day you get an impressive result. And to me, you know, the most difficult thing, it was more than dealing with the genre, more than dealing with a previously mainstream movie. I think that you know, audience is going to enjoy the movie, because I think you can make something really, really full of action and entertaining, but at the same time you can drop a real movie, which is, you know, sometimes the horror and the terror movies are playing with something not real. And but in this case, you know, the scenario brings this kind of reality, which is something that I love.
So in considering this movie and how things roll in this film, do you consider yourself an optimist or a pessimist?
I think that's a good question. I think a dark ending doesn't mean a pessimistic view about the reality. I think sometimes the dark is a good element to think about your world and the world that you're living in, about the problems that we got, and it's a good, I think, in my opinion, it's a good punch on your face to wake up and to, you know, to think about the world that we're living in, as I told you. So I love these kind of apocalyptic visions when the rules of the world, it's not paying attention to the structure of the typical stories, you know, because I think reality is, you know, in the reality you can't find mercy. So that's why I think that the darkness in this movie, it's so biting to me, because it's a way to create a real apocalyptic, you know, something that you can enjoy and you can absolutely drag by these intense images. And at the same time, when the movie is done and you walk out of the theater, you have something remain, you know, that was remain in your mind, in your brain. I think that was my intention. I think, as I told you, you know, it's not a pessimistic view, it's a real view. But sometimes reality is, you know, it's full of dark. Yeah.
Juan Carlos, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
So pretty interesting guy, sounds like.
Pretty cool stuff. He after seeing the movie and hearing what he had to say, I think he really had his head screwed on straight and knew what he was going for with this film.
I think from what he said, he definitely made a movie. He made what he wanted to make. Yeah.
He made very real movie.
You know, and whether that rubs you the right way or not, that is but it's always good to see a director get to make the movie they want.
Cool. Let's roll off, and we'll come back, and we're going to talk about a little bit of next week when we'll do a quick review recap.
And we're back, and we're wrapping up here, Fat Guys, the movies. And before we go to our review recap, and before we close it down, I just want to make sure that we remind everyone, if you visit filmschoolrejects.com, we've got a bunch of cool stuff going on. We've got the Summer Movie Smackdown in full effect every week. We're doing... Rolling into week two of the Summer Movie Smackdown. As you can see from our site, it is blood red, thanks to the guys at Fox Atomic. They really hooked us up.
Woo-hoo!
Also, we're doing a pretty cool 28 Weeks Later giveaway. Make sure you send in your email. You have to send in the subject line. It has to say, "Give me the virus."
Send it to contests at filmschoolrejects.com. We'll enter you in to win all that cool
stuff. And we'll give you a vial with the real rage virus so you can infect your friends.
You can infect yourself and the world will end.
Yes.
Basically.
Have fun.
So let's recap some movie reviews here.
Okay, let's see. 28 weeks later, I said it rocked.
I'm going to say kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. And now the weepy, teary-eyed Georgia Rule. You didn't see, so...
I didn't see it. I'm not even going to chime in.
It kind of sucked. Then you've got Delta Farce, the Larry the Cable Guy Iraq comedy.
That totally sucks. I don't care if I see it or not.
I'm going to see it. I have a feeling I'm kind of going to like it. It's probably going to be a kind of rocks for me. Now we got Zach Braff's The X.
Which I also didn't see. But it looks all right.
It kind of rocks. It's a good film. Funny. And then Waitress, let's just end it. It sucked. And Neil doesn't need to say it. It totally rocks. No, it sucks.
It rocks. Go see Waitress with your mom on Sunday.
You can go see Waitress with your mom, bake a pie, whatever.
Yes.
But next week we're going to be talking about the big green monster.
Shrek 3.
Oh, the Hulk. No, you're right. Shrek 3. So we'll come back, see you next week, and have fun at the movies.
Adios.